If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
From Glory Hole Studios and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. Cecil!
I'm sorry.
What are you doing over there, buddy?
I would normally edit that out, but
what are you doing, man? I can see you. You can't. All right, put your pants back on. We're in the same room. All right? Zoom rules do not apply.
Here we go.
Okay, now our listeners are going to have to pee. Now we gotta pause. We gotta let him pee.
See, now Tom, you and I have been apart
a long time, buddy.
16 months or something like that. So normally, what I would do is if I was pouring my drink before we started recording, I would just edit myself out. But I can't do it.
And I'm gonna catch you on your shit. Put your pants back on. Right, that's the other. Put
here we go.
All right. Recording live from Glory Hole Studios and beyond. This is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode... Actually, there's two welcome mats.
There is two welcome mats.
We have two fucking welcome mats.
Two welcome mats.
God damn it. And they're studio. Here in our new studio. Cecil, I feel like... Like, nervous like a virgin. Like, we haven't done this together in a long time. It's like I've spent, like, a lot of alone time with just me, and all of a sudden I got a partner again.
You're working on yourself,
right.
Figuring out how you work, and now you're introduced to a whole new situation.
You know, 16 months of self-love, and all of a sudden you got a, you know, partner in the room. I'm sweating bullets here, guys.
If you want to give it to your partner, you can go to adamandeve.com, type in Gloria, check out. No, seriously, Tom is back in studio. Tom, it's so good to see you in person. It really
so
is.
It's so awesome to be here.
It's so amazing. Both of us got vaccinated well over a month ago. I was vaccinated late. You were vaccinated mid-March. Mid-March. I was vaccinated late March. So both of us vaccinated quite some time ago. So CDC rules, it's cool to hang out with your vaccinated
friends, folks.
And so we are hanging out with our vaccinated friends. So we are back together in studio for the first time in a long time. And it's great to be back in this dynamic.
Here we go, man. In this dynamic.
Because it's a different dynamic when the two of us can see each other.
There's like a lot more energy than when just like when the cat's running around.
You know? You gotta grab Rupert for this.
He hates it anyway.
It's gonna be bad.
It is so nice to be here. It was so funny because I pulled up and like on my passenger seat, that's the mask seat. I actually just throw my mask over there. And I was like, I don't even have to. I can go in someplace other than my house.
I could go in without,
without a mask on.
Yeah.
And it was a little weird because every other place other than your own home that you go into, you grab a mask. And
still wear a mask.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not gonna fucking wear that mask. Yeah. And just pointed at it, got out of the car.
It was weird the first couple times going out. I went out Heath Enright came to town and I went out to dinner with Heath and you wear your mask into the building, but then you take your mask off when you're seated.
Yeah.
And so you're just seated for, you know, the whole time and everybody else, nobody's got a mask on except for the waiters. And then you wear a mask to go to the bathroom or whatever.
Right.
But it's really, really a strange feeling. It's so funny though, how quickly my brain picked right back up into it. It was just like, I almost forgot there was a pandemic just sitting there as long as the waitress didn't come by.
As long as that reminder didn't come by.
But then when you stand up, you're suddenly shocked. You're like, oh, I got to put my mask back.
I wonder if that's why rural America is much more pandemic denial, right? Because their whole life is exactly like your experience eating dinner.
Right, right.
nobody's wearing a mask. So like, there's not that like constant reminder that there is in fact a fucking pandemic going on, that 600,000 people are gone just in the States because of this. But if you don't see that reminder, be like, yeah, it's fucking something that happens on TV.
I met my neighbor the other day.
Oh, how was it?
And so like, I moved from middle Chicago to a not to an area that's not as as progressive. It's just, I looked on the map. There was a thing that was going around for a while. New York Times had a, basically would tell you sort of what the split Democrat, Republican, where you're at, if you type it in. And so I typed it in and I thought, you know, well, what do I got?
Where am I at?
I'm actually in the minority now. The Democrats are in the minority.
Really?
Yeah, in this area. So, you know, I wind up talking to a couple of neighbors and nothing really comes up, right? Nobody's really saying anything. Next door neighbor here got vaccinated. So we saw each other.
Yeah.
We both kind of had our masks out. And so like, you know, you suspect there's, you know, that they're tied to reality, to reality.
Yeah, Yeah. They're not fucking insane.
We're out working on the yard and a neighbor across the street comes over first day. Mm-hmm. First time we saw him is actually a couple of days ago. And we meet and we talk for a few minutes and everything seems to be going kind of normal at first. And then he says something about the pandemic. He says, oh, this pandemic. He says, if this was a real pandemic, you'd see people in the street. And I said, tell that to people in India. And he said, that's fake news. And that's the first time I'd ever heard anybody use the words fake news in real conversation.
Right, yeah.
And my response was, well, I highly doubt the BBC would be reporting for politics reasons in the United States. Fake news.
Fake news. Yes.
I mean, the BBC, what vested interest does the BBC have? And he kind of waved his hand. And he said, oh, it's not that big a deal. And I said, it is a big a deal. I said, it's a very big deal. The COVID's a very big deal.
Yeah.
I was not ready to just be like, oh, well, I guess we're just neighbors and we're just going to be like friends. We're just,
yeah, right.
I'm going to push back. And I just kept pushing back. And he's like, I had it early on and I had to get, well, I had walking pneumonia with it. And I'm just thinking, it is a big deal then.
It fucking blows my mind when people are like, I had it and I was real sick. And you're just like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you want to know how you were real sick? Well, some people get sicker than that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What is wrong? Like, what world are you? It's like, I've had things. So I had meningitis, right?
Yeah.
I had meningitis.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
And I got better.
Yeah.
And there were no lasting effects from it. But some people get meningitis and it fucks them up.
Also, you had meningitis really badly. And I remember how miserable you were.
I was very sick.
You would never want anybody else to experience that.
Right. And I don't deny that meningitis is like a big deal, right? Because you're like, whoa, I had a, like all things considered, mild case. And it laid me out for 2 weeks straight, laid my ass
you
out.
You slept in the old studio.
In the old studio on a hardwood floor with just like carpet glued to the floor.
Because you couldn't stay the light.
Yeah. Yeah. For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't understand people who are like, I got real sick from that. Anyway, it's not real.
It's not a big deal. Or
how could it not be real?
Yeah.
You got it, stupid.
And then he says, yeah, well, you know, I work for the post office. And so I got it way early. They ship stuff from China. I'm like, that's not how it's transmitted. It's not transmitted. Like, you don't get it from a package.
They ship
from China. You know, so like this guy is just, he's
not tethered to reality.
He's not tethered to reality.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. That's the first time I've ever confronted or been confronted with fake news in a real conversation. Like I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, what on earth would possess someone to go over and, I don't know, Francis Ford Coppola-like direct a near apocalyptic film in India and pretend it's news? What would possess someone to do that?
Yeah. And that's somebody who's world is incredibly parochial, right? Like they have, in order to think that, they have a small world because that means that they don't have any connections with people in other countries,
sure.
Right? So their entire world is limited to the people in their sort of sphere of influence. Because if you talk to anybody who works with people in India, they'll tell you, I've got people that have died in my team. I have employees in India. I have a guy that died last week. I've got people that are sick. Like we have people out. Our production is lower. We have to like, so if you have, and that's not an uncommon experience. People have friends in England who, you know, it's a pandemic. It's not a localized epidemic. Americans have this like so incredibly America-centric view of the world that they only see things through the lens of America.
Right, right.
And it's like, man, talk to someone. Make a fucking friend across any pond. Pick a pond, make a friend across there.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
Well, and you know, the talks about vaccines that I've had, especially online, are just really just annoying because people will say, well, they don't even know what's in that vaccine. And you're like, no, yeah, they just walked into the lab. Like when you were a kid.
And who doesn't know?
Yeah, who doesn't? Oh, you don't know. But that's okay that you don't know.
Well, I don't know what's in a lot of things.
Right? Like it's okay. I'm talking about the person who's sending me a message on Twitter. Of course you don't know what's in it. You would not know. You would never know what's in it. But you know what you could do is you could go to a bunch of school and you can learn what's in it.
Right. It's not unknowable facts. It's just that's not your particular area of expertise. Right. Like, I don't know what's in a watch. Yeah. Like, I'm wearing a watch right now.
Yeah.
It works. It tells me the time.
Yeah.
If you were to be like, how does a watch work? I'd be like, nah, I don't really know.
Yeah, a bunch of gears do stuff.
I have skeleton watches. I look at them like, looks cool. Don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Build a watch. Can't do it. I fucking, this most of the world. Sure. I don't know how it works.
Build a TV from scratch.
Right.
the guy who built the toaster from
Scratch. The toaster project.
From scratch.
There's this really great book, and it's really more like a book about like supply chain economics, but it's like a guy decided he wanted to build a toaster as his PhD project or master's thesis, I don't remember which, totally from scratch, meaning every piece he was going to like if he was going to get like tungsten, he was going to find rocks and melt the tungsten out of it. If he was going to like have iron, he was going to smelt the iron. So and all he wanted to do was build a toaster. It is the worst thing. It catches on fire.
It's the ugliest toaster you've ever seen. It's the best. Check that book out.
The world is too complicated for anyone to know how it all works.
Yeah.
But they have to rely on
experts. What they want
to
do is type a few things in Google and they want to get an answer. And the answer that they're going to find most likely for them is that vaccines are bad. And that's going to be the word that they take. That's going to be the thing that they pull away from it. And so, yeah, it's a weird world right now, but I will say I'm utterly grateful that we're in studio together.
Yes.
Because it's just been so long and it is a very isolating thing. This last year has been horribly isolating for everybody. And, you know, there's a certain amount of Zoom fatigue you and I both have.
Oh my God.
And now we're recording two shows on Zoom. And it gets to the point where you're like, now I'm doing this and I worked all day on Zoom and then I come here and I do it on Zoom and it's just a much better feeling.
It feels like the difference between having a friend that you're hanging out with and like more work to do today.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I don't mean it in a shitty way, but it's like you said, like you're on Zoom literally all day.
It's all day. Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, let's do some Zoom. And you're like, okay, well, I'm on Zoom with Cecil and I care more about that than I care about my other work meetings. But also like we're trying to produce a product. Like, we got to have dinner together.
Yeah, we got to have dinner.
We got to, like, bullshit and catch up and, like, give you a hug. Like, I feel human just being with somebody, you know?
It's a different feeling. It's definitely a different feeling. And it's been a year of deprivation for so many people. And so it's my hope now that, you know, with more people getting vaccinated, that we'll start to see more and more regularity returning to our lives.
I hope so, too, man. The numbers look great. The trend lines...
Fingers crossed, man. And you know, we're going into a slow season anyway because of the summer, you know, and maybe Trump meant this year it's going to just disappear.
Oh,
maybe
it's just like magic.
Like magic.
All you have to do is all the work.
Yeah. All you have to do is engineer a vaccine from start to finish, distribute it on a massive scale.
It's a
and
problem.
Get people to take it.
Problems will solve themselves. We just have to do all of the work.
Who knew it was this complicated?
Did you guys know the flu kills 60,000 people? Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking everybody lots fucking of people knew that.
Everybody knew it, bro.
You stupid asshole.
Speaking of a stupid asshole, Tom, listen.
Oh, this story made me giggle like a schoolgirl.
It's so good.
From the New York Times. Trump shuts down his blog, frustrated by its low readership. So this is great. So after he got kicked off fucking Twitter and he got kicked off fucking Facebook and then Facebook punted and they may or may not keep him off, but whatever. He's off now. He started it's a blog. Like, I think he wanted it to be a little more grandiose than a blog, but at the end of the day,
it's a fucking blog,
it's
man.
It's like from the desk of Donald J. Trump. And I wondered, like, how small is the desk? Is it a little desk?
Tiny desk with his big hands. His tiny hands tiny on his tiny desk.
With his enormous gut.
Oh, gosh.
It's from the desk
of... That's the best photo of his era. That's my favorite photo that they took of him during his presidency.
There are so many good ones.
Him pointing at somebody in that tiny little desk. It is genuinely my favorite thing.
Yeah, I will say that I love that photo. I genuinely love that photo. There are some wonderfully unflattering photos because he's such a hideous fucking human being. Like every single thing about Donald Trump from a physical attractiveness perspective.
Admittedly.
His body is horrible. 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 His body is horrible. He looks like human-shaped mashed potatoes. That's what he looks like.
It does look like
it. Somebody put it like their dad's suit on a human. No, man. It's horrible.
He looks like 5 pounds of shit in a $3 sock. I mean, that's what he looks like.
Yeah. He can't dress himself. Yeah. He can't. I mean, he looks
terrible.
So there's so many wonderful pictures, but when he's sitting at that little desk.
That little desk is so amazing.
It makes him look so small and insignificant.
It's perfect. Ugh. It's perfect. It's the little kids table. Mwah. It's the kids table of presidents.
Yep.
And the best part is if that video of him, and he's just like, how dare you? he's getting indignant. Super amazing. That's super amazing.
So he's got this fucking stupid goddamn blog. From the desk of Donald J. Trump. And like, I guys got to read this because it's so delightful. Mr. Trump had become frustrated after hearing from friends that the site was getting little traffic and making him look small and irrelevant.
I love that so much.
So on his stupid fucking blog, it says, and I love this because just listen to the contradictions in this sentence. In a time of silence and lies,
dun, dun, dun.
A beacon of freedom arises. A place to speak freely and safely.
Is there an eagle that comes out? I was like, ca-caw!
Straight from the desk of Donald J. Trump.
It's Eagle Man from those old commercials.
Oh, yeah. Like you're going to love your low rates.
Where they lay an egg on this, yeah. That's a Chicago commercial, folks.
And is that just Chicago?
I think
Eagle
it is.
Man?
Because Man Cow was on those commercials.
That's true.
So
that is local.
I suspect it's local.
I love that in a time of both silence and lies. Which is it?
I guess
are they
could,
silent lies?
You could lie by omission.
Okay. All right. You got me there.
Yeah. Right.
You got me there. Yeah. All right.
The beacon of freedom arises.
So, and also you've got like,
does the freedom though, like the torch of the beacon of freedom, does it match his comb over? Like, does it come up like his comb over, like in the same?
I don't know. It probably does. I just know that his beacon of freedom looks a lot like that Sargon's eye or whatever, fucking Saruman or whatever that thing is from Lord of the Rings.
You can get his beacon of freedom, but he's got to pay you $144,000.
I don't know. For $144,000.
I do a lot for $144,000.
It's 38 seconds of my time. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's easy money.
It's not a lot of time.
So I also like, incidentally, that it's freedom. And then he also says a place to speak freely. And if you were grading this as an English paper, you'd be like, pick a different fucking word, asshole. You already used free one sentence before.
I know. Like crack a fucking thesaurus,
Jesus
fella.
Christ.
Yeah. What I love, though, is that he can tell he's something of an irrelevance.
Yep.
And it bothers
him. It hurts him.
It bothers him.
It hurts him, Cecil.
It bothers him, and I like that.
Yep. It's great. His site was getting, they said, virtually no traffic.
Yeah, I don't know how many. But you know, the one thing you've got to understand though, and this is genuine, that's not a reading crowd.
No.
Right? So like Twitter is perfect, a perfect medium for him. He can be angry and offensive and shitty and mean.
Yeah.
In a very short time span, and you don't expect a lot from your readership.
True.
I suspect his briefs from his briefing room or whatever he had were also very simple, but you're asking people to go somewhere else.
Yep.
And that cuts off the flow of information.
Yeah.
When it's two clicks deep, I'm sorry, they're not going to go there anymore.
The thing is, like, you already have an app on your phone that is the clearinghouse for entertainment and information. And that's your social media apps that people tend to use, right? So if I have to go to some fucking website like it's 1998 in order to be like, oh, let me check and see what's going on my favorite ex-president's blog.
Yeah.
You're never going to do it.
No. Who has blogs anymore?
Information is consumed.
Eli has
never written on it. Information is consumed casually.
Right.
For the most part. And I think that's a real problem. But because information is primarily consumed casually, when you have to purposefully seek this asshole out, people aren't all that fucking motivated.
Right.
And it's amazing.
Right.
Like, there's the fucking Telegram assholes. Those guys are maybe going to be motivated.
Yeah.
But the rest of the world's like moving on, man. They're going to wash their car and mow their lawn.
Did Parler ever come back?
Parler's back on the App Store today.
Okay. All right.
Yep, I just saw that.
Well, I mean, that is a place that he can go. That's a place that hasn't banned him, right?
Right.
And there's a couple of places that he can go, but he doesn't have a big. His mouthpiece has been shuttered because of the insurrection that he caused.
Yep.
I mean, like you can't get away. You shouldn't be able to get away with that. And that's like one of the only things to come of the January 6th day is
that Trump is no longer a super spreader of misinformation. Most of everything else is just, I mean, we're not going to see any kind of real political damage.
No, they've already decided. They don't even want to, we don't want to look into it.
Yeah. In fact,
it's going to look bad if we look at what happened.
You might wind up getting people energized because of it in the future. So
it's mostly a lose situation.
It's mostly a lose, but I will say that's an absolute win to get him off those places because he's a menace. He's an absolute menace.
Person. Yep.
I've just sucked 1 year of your life away. What did this do to you? Tell me. And remember, this is for posterity, so be honest. How do you feel?
Oh, and also in Schadenfreude news.
I feel like that kid from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to point at him.
This story comes from New York Daily News. You can find it also anywhere because anti-vax evangelical pastor Rick Wiles,
friend of the show, Rick Wiles.
Noted anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Hospitalized with COVID-19 and given oxygen.
Oh. Yeah.
So this story is just great because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Because that's the same guy who went on his stupid True News thing and was like, oh, the fucking vaccine is a genocide and I'm not getting any vaccine. Right, vaccine.
Right.
And that stupid asshole is fucking gasping for breath. Now, unfortunately, Cecil, you pointed out to me today, his Twitter says he's getting better.
No, that's what he said. I mean, like the thing is like the True News Twitter was basically asking for prayers. And it felt like it was a little after this, but on his Twitter, he said, thanks to Jesus Christ, I survived the CCP COVID genocide. I'm not sure what that means.
What is that?
CCP COVID genocide on the American people.
Only America again.
I will be released from the hospital later today. My breathing has returned to normal. Pneumonia defeated. The worst is over. My deepest gratitude for all the prayers. I will share more later. I'm glad his deepest gratitude for all the prayers, not the oxygen you got at the fucking doctor.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. It's funny, Cecil, because I read that and I was like, motherfucker, when the chips are down, every fucking one of these religious dicks, right?
Every one. Every fucking one.
When the chips are down, what do? You go to science, asshole. You go to science every fucking time. Every time you really need an answer, you're like, you know, I really want some science. Yeah. Yeah. To help me out.
And every one of those fucking people that are now pushing anti-vax or at least vaccine hesitancy are all people that have been fucking, they got the jab. You know, Sean Hannity's been fucking, you know, Laura Ingraham, you know, all these fucking
people. They're fucking vaccinated.
Trump himself got vaccinated.
Yep.
So fuck off, you know?
And if any of them got sick, they would want the best.
Of course.
Medical, scientifically designed medical
Look
care.
What Trump got. Trump got an amazing, he got, like they squoze like a bunch of people that had COVID before him in a fucking juicer and he drank it. Like fucking Elizabeth Bathory or whatever. Like,
bring me the virgin COVID blood.
Exactly.
Let me bathe in it.
Get out of here. Yeah, but anyway, he posts a prayer too. Interestingly, Tom, you're going to have a hard time guessing this.
Okay, all right.
Who do you think True News got as a replacement for Rick while he's getting better during Pride Month?
Oh, okay. It's got to be somebody who's anti-gay decency, a bigot, a well-known bigot, because it's maybe a Daubenmeyer?
Milo Yiannopoulos. I turned it on.
Really?
I turned it on because True News says I'm going live because I wanted to find out what was going on their Twitter. And so I went to their Twitter and I saw the posts about Rick.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, let me check this out. So I went and I looked at it and he looks a lot more like snake oil salesman than he used to.
Okay.
But he's in a suit and he's there with another person, their guest host during Pride Month to sort of say gay they are.
I was going to say, because he's not gay.
Yeah, he's not gay anymore.
Yeah. So was he proud before and now he's not? How does that even work?
I don't know, but he must've prayed it all away though.
It'll do it.
100% prayed away.
Yeah.
Do you get to keep the rainbow? Because I know that I know that gay people, I didn't steal anything. I'm a cis hetero guy, but I cheered on the gay people when they stole the rainbow. When they released the rainbow or caught the rainbow, when they opened their Skittles, when they tasted the rainbow, I was there cheering them on. Yeah. I didn't do anything, but I cheered them on.
Right.
Do you, when you're gay, reform that Abrahamic tradition, Noah tradition
with
God and get a rainbow back when you're not gay anymore?
I don't know. I bet the rainbow, Can you even buy Skittles at that point? I don't even know.
Are you allowed?
Are you allowed to buy Skittles?
If you're homophobic, can you buy Skittles?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Skittles are terrible candy too.
They are. Thank you.
They're a terrible candy.
Skittles are a terrible candy. Nobody should eat them. And they also almost always are stale when you eat them.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know Skittles. Most of the Skittles I ate were stale until one time I got a package that wasn't stale. And I'm like, oh, they're supposed to be soft at first.
They're so hard when they're stale too. They're like little gobstoppers.
They're horrifying.
You know the worst part about Skittles? Here's the worst part about Skittles. Every handful of Skittles tastes exactly the same.
Thank you.
Every single one. It tastes like indiscriminate fruit object. That's what it tastes like. Every single one. And here's the thing. Yeah. What it should taste like is I should be able to grab two or three Skittles and make a different flavor. And I cannot do that.
You can't do it.
If I grab three flavors, unless they're all the same, unless I got cherry, like a fucking slot machine, they all taste, it tastes like—
it tastes like sugar mud.
It tastes like indiscriminate fruit flavor.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's like when you mix all your markers together and you get brown, it's sugar mud.
It's sugar mud. That's exactly— it's 100%.
It's fucking gross.
You're 100% true. It's the worst.
The yellow ones taste the way Pledge dusting shit smells.
They taste like urinal cakes. That's what they taste like. That's the worst. Seriously.
And no matter how much frosting you put on a urinal cake, it's not worth it.
I don't care if you cut it into layers.
Yeah. Oh, it's my birthday. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
No, but seriously, there's a certain amount of those in a handful that seriously tastes like you walked into a men's bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
It's the worst. It's genuinely—
I've always associated that with like lemon pledge, the dusting junk.
It's the worst. Skittles are the worst candy. I think we can agree on that.
They might be the worst candy.
There might be the worst candy.
Yeah, I can't think of a world where I want to eat a Skittle.
There's no. And then they also get stuck. They're the worst. They get stuck in your teeth. They're the worst. You're like,
I hate any of that shit though. That gets stuck. I'm fucking 43 at this point. Like anything that sticks to my teeth makes me panic.
Yeah.
Like I'm running out of air.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I'm just like Laffy Taffy. Are you kidding me? I'll confess. Are you kidding me?
It's like you're getting waterboarded.
Or like one of those like sugar babies or something.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Get the fuck. I may as well just pull all my own fucking teeth out.
Eat a Biddle Honey nowadays. You look like Mumra the Ever Living. Just like strands in your face.
Have you as an adult eaten one of the sticky stick candies and bit down on it and you're glued together and you're afraid to open your mouth up?
You're like, so my feelings like, coming. My feelings, it's coming out.
You're like, I'm going to lose a crown.
Yeah.
Like I'm 100% going to lose a crown.
And then I'm going to feel this immense pain. Like somebody just punched me in the, like Mike Tyson just uppercutted me. I know what's going to happen to me. Yeah.
I've done that. And then there's a moment of just sheer mouth panic because you're like, I'm glued together. I'm glued together forever.
Hot tea.
Is that the answer?
Hot tea's
That's
the answer.
That's a smart answer.
Hot tea. Unless you got like half a candy bar stuck in your mouth, then you're fucked.
Then you're just fucked.
Then you're just fucked.
No, at that point, you just jump off a bridge.
Now then
there's nothing left for you.
Oh, where are we at here? Okay, by the way, Tom, I wanted to mention this story.
Yo, what is that?
This story is so good. this sheriff, a deputy who posted anti-vaccine content dies of COVID. But my favorite comment was somebody commented on it somewhere, and I don't know where I saw it, but someone commented, I guess his immunity was qualified.
Good but though. Fuck
but,
you.
But yeah, the dude posted a bunch of stuff. He even had on his profile picture one of these like, I have not been vaccinated. This says
33.
He says, I don't care if you've been vaccinated. And the other one says, I have an immune system is what the other one says.
Well, not anymore.
Well, no, I mean like, and I think that might be the problem is your immune system was just so butch it killed you.
I'm killing the COVID. I'm taking me out with it.
I have. Yeah, right. He's like, he pulled the pin.
Yep.
I don't even know. But seriously, I don't feel bad that this guy.
No, this is fucking hilarious.
This guy literally killed himself. Yep. Like he, in the face of this, and this is the problem. This is the problem with this disease is that there's just this kind of idea that it's not. It doesn't, 2%. Oh, 2%. 2% is a lot.
It's a huge amount of people.
It's a lot.
Think of your multiplier.
Yeah.
2% isn't two people.
Yeah.
It's 2 times 320 million just in the States. Yeah. That's why there's 600,000 of us dead.
Yeah.
I also like, I don't do anything that has a 2% chance of fatality. If I got in my car and there was a 2% chance every time I got in the car that I was going to die.
Yeah.
There's no way I would take that risk. Like, your risk of like, fuck it, when you like go
fucking jump out of an airplane. I've gone bungee jumping. There is a much higher likelihood of surviving bungee jumping.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do things with a 2% fatality rate. No. Nobody actually does. If like, 2 out of every 100 people died...
on an escalator.
Nobody on an escalator.
No one would go on the escalator.
Nobody.
Because if at the end, there's a 2% chance it opens up, it's like, nom, nom, nom. You're like, I'm not on that. Are you kidding me? I'll take the
escalators
stairs.
Escalators are terrifying even though they're safe.
I will take the fucking stairs, man.
The moving walkway is hungry. The moving walkway is hungry.
It's like one of those old robots that you have to feed by eating. It's like Rick Wiles, a wild
Rick Wiles,
he's a military robot. So it's like a military robot. And so it just eats people. Every 2 out of 100 people just get swallowed. You would never get on that thing.
No.
You wouldn't get on a carnival.
You would
ride
go on a roller coaster. Think about a roller coaster. Like a roller coaster is like 30 people on a roller coaster. If every third time 2 people died on that roller coaster, you wouldn't be waiting in line for that roller coaster.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand. We're like, oh, it's only like 99% survivable. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a risk you take doing literally anything else?
But it's funny because people seem to think they don't think like that. They don't put those two things together. But you're right. There's not a lot of risk in daily life. There's not a lot of risk.
No,
that kind of risk is unheard
it's
of in daily life.
Lower than 1%. Yeah. Like 1%. It's like, no way. Yeah. Are you fucking high?
Yeah.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
This story comes from the Friendly Atheist blog. Biden reverses Hyde Amendment's abortion funding ban in historic budget proposal. Now, we talked about some of the items that were in the budget proposal several times now. It's a big deal. It's a huge $6 trillion budget. There's lots of new stuff in there.
Yeah.
This is really exciting. So the Hyde Amendment, in a nutshell, it's been around for a lot of years, and it prevents federal dollars from our budget to be used to fund abortion. So money can go to things like Planned Parenthood, but Planned Parenthood has to segregate the money that they spend on abortion from the rest of the money that they spend on reproductive and women's care. So those funds can't commingle. What that means in part is that you can't, if you're on fucking Medicare or Medicaid and you need access to an abortion, you can't have one. You can't use Medicare and Medicaid dollars in order to gain access to this basic medical right.
Right.
And it is a medical right until it's overturned by, you know, which it may be, unfortunately, but until it's overturned, it is a medical right that weirdly is the only thing I can think of that is singled out. And this budget does away with that.
Yeah.
And it's really great news.
I think it's wonderful. You know, there is a definite war on abortion. It's a war on women, right?
Yes.
It goes to the, it definitely works its way up towards the women, but it's a war on abortion in this country where they try to limit it. We saw recently the heartbeat bills that have been coming up that are just a disaster. These poor women, most of the time you don't even know you're pregnant before
the heartbeat.
Heartbeat. So the chance of you getting an abortion after that, you know, you can't in some places. And so it's a disaster. Yeah. Unless you're a rich lady.
Yep.
Right? Unless you're rich and you could get on a plane and go to another state where they don't have these draconian laws, you can then go to a plan. It could be a private doctor somewhere else.
Right.
If you're rich enough, doesn't matter, Planned Parenthood, but you could go somewhere else and get a abortion if you're rich enough. But poor people don't have this option. They just can't get in a car and travel 8 hours to the next state, or, you know, they're stuck in the state that they're in. And they're essentially, you're forced to have the child that they were going to force you to have. They also don't ever provide any services to prevent these pregnancies from even happening. They don't provide sexual education. They don't provide condoms. They don't provide, you know.
Yeah, we don't do any of the things.
Yeah, there's all these things you could do to stop it to even get to that point, but they don't do any of that stuff.
Yep.
And so there's just this war that happens. And the women are the ones, the poor women are the ones that they bear the brunt of this. They're the ones who are getting attacked. And we somehow think that that's okay. And that's just the price of doing business. That's okay. And it's bullshit. And we're seeing now that the president is making this a priority. And it's important that he's doing this because this is one of the things that the progressives very much wanted. And the progressives don't want to see you know, this sort of thing continuing on where, you know, poor women are essentially under assault and they don't want to see that happen. No, they're trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. Perfect. I think this is a great thing. And I'm happy that he followed through on this campaign promise.
Me too. There is an ongoing war, as you mentioned. There's a war on people that are poor to keep them poor. There is, like, we talk about America like it is a bootstraps country.
Yeah.
But the reality is that a tremendous amount of our systems are in place specifically because it keeps poor people poor.
Yeah.
And there is a war on women. And that war on women is specifically designed to keep women out of the fucking workforce so they don't compete with men. That's a huge, if you really gave a shit about abortion, to your point earlier, if you really gave that much of a shit about abortion, you would have comprehensive sexual education. You would have access to all kinds of birth control at any age without parental consent, right? And then, you know, you would also have programs, social programs in place to keep kids busy. That's what you would have. And if you had all those things in place, the amount of unwanted pregnancies would be drastically reduced, you know, and that's just teen pregnancies. But then you would also have social programs which, you know, allow people to take care of kids without shouldering these massive childcare cost burdens. You know, some of the statistics around abortion are really telling. A huge number of women that have abortions already have kids.
Yeah.
They already have kids. The thing is, they know they can't afford yet another kid.
They know, yeah.
But if childcare were subsidized, if you really cared about abortion, subsidize childcare.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because a lot of people choose to have an abortion because they can't afford to have another fucking person.
Yeah.
That's why, like, a lot of people, like, can't afford to take themselves out of the workforce again.
Right.
But we don't have social safety nets. We don't have comprehensive sex ed. We don't have access to reproductive care. This is not about aborting babies. Yeah. If you really cared about aborting babies, you wouldn't just ban abortion.
You would figure out a way to stop the entire process.
Right. You would cut this off at the fucking demand side, not the supply side.
You would in a minute. Yeah. But they don't.
This is not about that. It's about making sure to keep women down and to keep fucking poor people down.
Yep.
How do you like that? My own mother falling for that stuff.
Well, you don't know Larry. Maybe Dr. Kahuha can help her.
Doctor? That guy's no doctor. He's a quack.
So this story comes from the Boston Globe. I'm going to read a chunk of this just to describe it a little bit better, and then we'll comment on it after. She's stuck with $75,000 in bills after her healthcare sharing ministry refuses to pay.
I will read the full article. How's that?
Betsy Hargraves wanted to save a few bucks on health insurance a couple of years ago, so she switched to a religious-based plan.
What?
For a while, right? It worked, cutting her monthly premium by hundreds of dollars. Then in March, she had double hip replacement surgery to relieve acute pain, followed by a 4-day stay in the hospital and extensive physical therapy. The surgery was successful, but Hargraves' insurer, in quotes, refused to cover any of the costs.
Jesus.
Saying her surgery was the result of a pre-existing condition. She was saddled with nearly $75,000 in medical bills. They told her the day before surgery, it would not be covered.
Oh my gosh.
Hargraves' financial crisis is rooted in her decision to opt out of a traditional health insurance plan, which she says she did without understanding all the ramifications. Under the Affordable Care Act, traditional health insurers are prohibited from denying coverage to members due to pre-existing conditions. It was one of the biggest selling points of Obamacare. But Hargraves' plan, One Share Health, is not traditional insurance. It is nonprofit, quote, healthcare sharing ministry, end quote. Yeah, fucking nonsense. And like all such ministries, exempt from the ACA and therefore not legally mandated to cover pre-existing conditions. Some healthcare ministries have come under sharp criticism from state regulators who say their aggressive marketing efforts have misled some consumers into the false belief their coverage is the equivalent of traditional insurance, only cheaper. At the bottom of its website homepage, OneShare says it is not an insurer. In an email, a spokeswoman for the nonprofit told me it's different from a traditional insurer because it does not assume the risk of medical expenses incurred by its members,
what?
Does not promise to pay expenses,
what?
And makes no guarantees of coverage.
What do you pay them for then?
Well, instead, it collects monthly, quote, contributions, the equivalent of premiums paid to insurers, from members and coordinates the payment of eligible medical expenses among members according to its own rules. That's what insurance is! You just wrote down what insurance is without the rules. It's insurance with no rules.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And that's how they got around all this bullshit with with the ACA. You wouldn't have been able to get around that. But now they get around it.
They get around it because they're religious, man. We talked about this with, like,
How many times have we talked about this with like
child care?
Fucking child care.
Child care is the biggest.
Thank you.
Yeah, child care is the biggest.
And it's like, okay, well, we decided that a good rule for child care is that there shouldn't be a drowning pool in the center of the fucking baby dome or wherever you keep these kids.
Like, and they're just like, well, they're just like, okay, all regular places, you have to check to make sure there's, you know, no hazards. But what we're going to do is distribute plastic bags and swimming pools to all the religious charities because there's going to be a dead kid there this year,
man. Yeah. If you fucking hang a cross, then you could have fucking zip ties and handguns laying around.
Such a sad story. This one guy, this little kid leaves, goes away, you know, see content warning here. There's a child. I'm going to talk about a child dying, but seriously, like fucking there's a little kid who winds up walking away, getting lost because they don't have fucking qualified people who work at the fucking religion place at your fucking local church to watch your kids. And the little kid wanders away and drowns in the baptismal.
Yep.
Font.
Yep. The drowning pool.
Because they literally don't pay attention because they don't. They're not qualified individuals, man.
Well, and they don't have to have the same. Once you're a religious organization, you don't have to have a student to caregiver ratio, right?
Staffing.
Or a child. Yeah. So all of those rules that we've decided are good rules for public health and public safety, all of a sudden they're not good rules if you fucking have a cross or it's in a mosque or it's in a fucking synagogue.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Say it out loud.
Yeah.
Why is it not a good rule? Or a good requirement. The same thing is true of insurance. Insurance is a heavily regulated industry because it's rife for abuse.
Yeah.
And because in America, people rely on insurance to not go fucking bankrupt when they get sick or get injured.
Right.
And it's a terrible system and we should get rid of it. And I feel so bad for this lady What drove her into it is the ridiculously high cost of health insurance premiums.
Yep. 100%.
Our premiums here in the States are egregious. I mean, they are, if you ask an American what they pay in health insurance and you don't live in the States, you will fucking weep like a child. And then if you ask what their employer pays, because that's money that could be going to the employee and isn't, like you would fucking weep until you would never stop weeping.
Yep.
And then if you ask like, well, if you get sick, is everything covered? Well, no, you still have to pay your fucking deductible and then you still have to pay a co-insurance rate.
Yeah.
Getting sick, even with insurance, can cost you five figures. Easy.
Fucking A, man.
I mean, this year alone, my wife got sick this year. My family deductible is $7,500. So they don't pay shit until I pay $7,500. Well, by fucking end of February, I was in it for $7,500. Then they start paying at 80%.
So you're still paying
20%. And then I pay 20% on top of that. Yeah. And then that goes until you reach an out-of-pocket maximum of, I think, $12,000 or $13,000. And then it all resets at the end of the calendar year.
Yeah.
So magically, December 31st, it's all wiped away.
Yeah.
So if you get sick at the end of the year instead of the beginning of the year, you can in a 6 or 7 month period, if you get sick, you can get stuck with, and this is with good insurance. I work for a huge company. I have great insurance, relatively speaking, across America. Like you can easily in a 6 month period spend $20,000-$30,000 on an illness or an injury.
Yeah. The amount of money that you have to spend. And then you're looking at, you know, the amount of money that comes out of your pocket. And then, you know, you're still contributing every month.
Yeah. You see, they don't stop paying your premiums.
It's not like once you reach that out of pocket maximum, you're done. Dust your hands off for the year. That out of pocket maximum is just for the deductible stuff.
Yeah. Your insurance premiums are still being paid every month.
And your business is still paying those.
Yep.
So that's all still coming out.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, it's obscene.
It's
dude.
Obscene. So I feel bad because this lady, she wanted to save a few bucks. She puts this money into this thing that describes itself in all the meaningful ways that insurance is described.
Yeah.
It is a community pool of money, which is used.
I mean, it literally sounds just like insurance.
Like if you were to ask somebody, what do you think insurance is? They would write what this thing wrote.
Yeah.
Except for what happened is this lady went to a doctor a few years back and she said, hey, you know what? My hips hurt. And the doctor said, don't worry about it. It's probably nothing. But they made a note of it in her chart. And by noting it in her chart, that then disqualified
condition.
As a pre-existing condition. So pre-existing conditions are like the ACA wiped that out and everybody in America pretty much fucking take a poll. America's like, that should not be a fucking thing.
Yeah.
It was just an evil fucking thing insurance companies invented out of thin air to deny coverage.
Paying fucking free card.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. And they did it a lot.
All the time.
A lot of people. Enough so that they literally tried to stop it.
Yes.
When Obama came into office.
Oh, they fought hard against that.
They fought
that. Hard. Like, we got to cover people that are sick.
Are you kidding me?
That's going to cut into our profits.
What are we going to do?
What do we look like, a healthcare industry?
It's ridiculous. And this poor lady, I mean, 75 grand in the hole. And after this news organization picked it up, now the company's going to try to renegotiate her bill for her. But they're not saying they're picking
They're not paying for any of it. They're just like, yeah, well, you know, we'll make some phone calls and see if the people you owe money to will take less money from you.
Yeah, but they're not buckling up.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not contributing because Jesus wouldn't want us to contribute money.
I wish the American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America?
So, returning guest, I feel like I'm back in the studio.
Back in the studio.
We're back to the talkies. And here we go, man. Michelle O'Bachman from Right Wing Watch. I missed her. I missed crazy, crazy woman.
God, the lady's got the craziest eyes.
She does have the craziest eyes.
She has the craziest eyes of anybody you've ever seen.
If you were to just hand me a picture of Liz Crokin, who I miss, by the way.
I miss Liz, too. Yeah.
If anyone out there knows.
I think she's stuck in a human trafficking tunnel somewhere.
Like, I don't know if she's getting, like, new fingers put on or, like, what her deal is. Like, Lee press-on fingers or something.
Press-on fingers.
Just, you know what? If I get just two little hooks,
it's just like it's just Play-Doh,
just little dildos. Like, and if you want a little dildo, you can head over to adamandeve.com and her Gloria checkout.
All right, God. So let's play Michelle O'Bachman. She's saying progressive left carried out the Capitol insurrection to put Trump down the memory hole. And if you want to put some in a memory hole, you can go to enemy.com. All right, so let's play Michelle O'Bachman, who looks remarkably younger, Tom. She's crazily photoshopped in this picture.
Yeah, either she got in a fucking surgery-related time machine.
Yeah. She saw the guys from Botched or whatever.
Right?
They did a good job on
it. They did a nice job. They really fucking sanded that thing down. Yeah,
they really pinched the eyes there really good, Leah. Really good job there pinching the eyes. All right, we're going to play on Michelle O'Bachman here.
January 6th. We're all told that that's the worst day that ever happened. These were the worst riots in America. It absolutely wasn't. It is my opinion that this was a theatrical event that the progressive left put on, the individuals who were the instigators who brought this.
If you're going to have like a big, huge, I don't know, like a acting production though, you want the left on your side. You want Hollywood.
You know what I mean?
Like you don't want the people on the right because they can't. Well, I mean, we've been on god-awful movies. We know what the right can make as a movie.
You know, like, think about the guys in your, like, theater troupe. They're fucking lefties, man. They're lefties for their own fucking safety. Yeah. They're lefties. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? What?
Yeah.
Like, this would be, like, the weirdest flash mob. It's a literal mob.
I mean, seriously, Tom. How is it that we're at this place? And it's such a weird place, too, because the people that are... They're going to use this. The right is going to use this as a galvanizer to show the anger. And they're already doing this in places to try to take voting rights away.
Yeah.
Right. So that they're using this as a way to say, look at how angry the people were that the vote wasn't as pristine as it should have been. It wasn't as clean as it should have been. And there was rules that were thrown in place after the fact. And that's what they were mad about. They were mad that Trump said they literally lied and stole the election. That's what they're mad about. Mm-hmm. But they have twisted it now into a new narrative. And that narrative is basically, look, hey man, fucking they were pissed off, but they're like Schrodinger's riot because it's like on one hand they're super pissed, but on the other hand they never did it.
Yeah, on the one hand they did it and it was entirely justified.
Right.
And on the other hand, not it.
I didn't do it. That was somebody else.
We're really at a place where you're saying that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Really? Because I saw a bunch of people wearing fucking MAGA shirts and carrying Trump flags. Now, granted, I could buy a shirt.
Sure, anybody could do that.
Right? Except for that they arrest these people and they have years-long histories on their social media of being right-wing nutjobs. And when you interview their fucking family, they're like, yeah, that person went down a fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah.
How many articles
QAnon.
Have you read?
Like all QAnon people.
So, like, that would be the fucking amazing grift. Okay.
in about 3.5 years.
Yeah, here's
we're going to need you to storm the Capitol.
Here's what I'm going to do. I need you to start listening to Rush Limbaugh in 1996.
Right.
Once you do that, now I want you to wean yourself off Limbaugh and move over to Glenn Beck once he goes on to Fox News. After him, go to Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. But I want you to start like around 2008, 2009, start tuning into Alex Jones. Like,
right.
I mean, seriously, these people have histories.
Now, have you gone to 4chan?
Right. It's like, let me just see your phone.
Yeah.
I know this website's not going to exist for 20 years, but I'll type it in now.
Yeah. Don't.
What's a website? You'll know. You'll find out.
Type it in your phone. Yeah. You'll understand.
You'll understand it. 20
years. I'll write it on a piece of paper, glue it to everything you put in your pocket.
Fucking stupid. Because you're right. It's such a long game. Yeah. It is such a long game for every one of these people because they, like you said, arm long length of every fucking thing they've ever done. That's 100% right. You know, and you can't take, there's no way they just caught the guys on the right.
I know you think,
you know,
like, there's thousands of people who is doing this, who is convincing thousands of people to show up and put themselves in harm's way and to show up and put themselves in like the law's way and to like, fist fight. How much do you have to pay somebody to fist fight the cops?
I think
a lot of money.
I think I hate Donald Trump more than most people, but there's no amount of money that could have put me there pretending I was one of those.
No fucking way.
There's not enough money.
No fucking way.
I wouldn't want to pretend I was one of them. I don't care how much I could grift them or TikTok them or pretend I was them and put a YouTube up later and be like, ha ha, I trolled you.
Gotcha.
Up. It would not be worth it.
It doesn't even make any sense.
I don't want to surround myself with those people.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I have joked a million times, like, man, if I just like fucking wanted the cash, I should just go be one of these fucking evangelical preachers. I would fucking kill it.
Yeah.
Stand in front of a crowd.
Fire and brimstone.
Be fucking loud and like persuasive. I could fucking crush that. But the thing is like, one, I'm not a bad person with no morals.
Yeah.
Two, I can find other ways to support my family. And three, and it's not a small three, is like your fucking people are horrifying to spend time with.
Yeah, I don't want
to
spend any time.
I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to like surround myself with your gross aesthetic and your nasty fucking values and your fucking nasty mom jeans. Get the fuck out of here.
And that's just going to like an evangelical. Imagine doing that in front of the fucking Capitol with all those people.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine. Like, and that's the thing is like, who are you crapping, lady? No, there's nobody there.
No.
That is fucking doing
the
what
false
you said.
Flagging.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
The fuck out of here.
About these were agitators brought in to create this problem. I believe it was specifically done to rebrand Donald Trump as being an insurrectionist and a leader of a terrorist movement.
You know,
he didn't deny it though. He fucking praised it.
And also, like, what did they take over his Twitter feed for 3 months?
Right.
Because like somebody tweeted that under his name. And it certainly wasn't Antifa.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Did they force him at gunpoint to say all those fucking horrible things, to do all those interviews, to stand up in front of Air Force One or whatever, a fucking Air Force chopper that comes by and have his little stupid press conference while he was walking to the chopper so he could yell it at people and then not hear their questions? Did they do all of that? Because they would have to. Can literally control him like with a fucking hand up his ass for 3 straight months while he's pretending that he lost the election.
Or
that he pretended that he won the election.
You got to rebrand Donald Trump. First of all, I thought your guy was the king of branding.
Right?
I thought that was your fucking guy.
Yeah.
Your guy is the fucking king of branding, except for when it's not, He's super fucking powerful, except for when he's the victim and he's a fucking...
He's him in the deep state.
He's the fucking, like you say, he's Schrodinger's president, right? Like, he's got all the power and all the answers, but he's still sometimes... He's always losing.
But he's always the underdog.
He's always losing.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking powerful. I'm such a fucking big strength. It'd be like, I can fucking arm wrestle anyone. But then when I lose, it's like, nah... You cheated because you got robot arms.
Yeah, exactly.
You got robot arms. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Yeah, like Trump, while this shit was happening, Trump was like tweeting out he went on air and he was like, oh, you guys are beautiful people.
Yeah.
Go home. Thank you.
It's
a special place
down,
in my heart.
They had to take the video down because everybody on the legal team looked at it and said,
holy shit.
Fuck. Whole
but taking
fuck.
It down doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, right. It still fucking happened, but they took it down and then he had to replace it with the one where he's clearly being held at gunpoint.
The day of January 6th was not, okay, I'll say it. Good day.
Go away, please. Don't ever come back. You're bad people. He had to like say they were bad people though.
Yeah.
And you could tell he never wanted to say that. In fact, I think while I was watching it, they had to cut to a different camera.
They did.
Camera.
They edited that shit.
They had to cut to a different camera because there were several times where you could tell he probably stopped and questioned whoever wrote it for him.
Right. Jim, are you sure we want to say this?
Sure we want to say this? We're going to lose our base.
Our boys are proud. They're proud boys.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe that this was done to rebrand the Make America Great agenda because remember, that was considered extremely popular by about 80 million Americans. So they wanted to rebrand Make America Great as an evil thing. And those of us who supported Donald Trump and that agenda as evil and terrorists, that's all a lie.
Terrorists.
As your listeners.
I love how she says terrorists. She says terrorists.
On the terrace.
Terrorists.
Trump was ever the president. You wouldn't even know that those 4 years of his presidency existed. George Orwell.
Oh, we know.
God, wouldn't that be amazing, though? If we could just go back. You know what's so funny is recently, I want to say this week, there was a QAnon big hullabaloo, like a conference.
Yeah, there was a QAnon club conference or whatever.
And people were saying Donald Trump told them that he was going to be reinstated as the president.
Yeah. I read that same thing.
Same thing.
He's still coming, guys.
He's still coming. It's one of those things that you're just listening to and thinking, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I mean, look, man, the restaurant is closing. Your date's not showing up.
Man, it
like,
is.
Like, no matter how fucking desperate you are, she is not showing
at
up.
At this point, you're sleeping near the dumpster by Lady and the Tramp and they're eating your fucking pasta fazool. Like, get the fuck out of here. They're kissing over the noodle, not you.
Well, wrote a book, 1984. He talked about a concept called the memory hole.
Caliente.
If the government in charge didn't want you to remember someone, they put them in the memory hole.
Put it in the
Donald
memory
J.
hole.
Trump has been put in a memory hole. Make America Great Again has been put in a memory hole. In other words, it never happened.
Oh, if only that. If I could erase that. If I had a fucking Men in Black pen and I could just fucking take that shit out of my mind.
Yeah, just remove it. I want to Eternal Sunshine that shit. I want Eternal Sunshine the last 4 years.
I would be willing to get rid of some really precious memories along with it.
With it.
You know?
I'd be cool with it.
Birth of my fucking children. I'd be like, fucking wipe it out.
Yeah.
First time you hold your fucking firstborn, I'd be like, fucking get rid of it. Fucking who cares?
Inject that shit.
Who fucking cares?
I can't believe that that's the angle that they're taking. Like, you know, it just feels, you know, remember when we used to cover the racists and the racists, when they get caught, they immediately fall back on themselves and say, oh, I wasn't trying to be racist. I wasn't trying to. And you just want to look at them and say, motherfucker, own your racism.
Just be racist.
Just be racist. Like if you're going to be a racist, at least look yourself in the mirror and be like, I'm a fucking racist. Like the guy who has the fucking swastika tattooed on his face. Yeah. He's not fooling anybody. He's not fooling himself. He's not fooling anybody else. He at least is an honest racist. Right.
Tell me why you, like, if you're a fucking racist, I'm always going to think you're a fucking bad person. But if you can like own it and then try to sell it to me, at least I think you believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. At least you're not using it as a way to like, you know, try to manipulate somebody.
Right.
But when it comes to this stuff too, it's like, man, just fucking own it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that the insurrection was important or whatever, own it. If you think it was bad, at least you're not, at least Ben Shapiro isn't denying that it happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
At least he came out and said, oh my God, what a terrible look. It was stupid. You shouldn't have done it. I don't know if he's changed his tune. I'm only going by the day that he did it. So I have no idea if he changed his tune afterwards. But at least the day of, he was like, this is fucking stupid.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. And on the speech from the floor.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Eviscerated.
Mitt Romney.
Yep.
You know?
Eviscerated Trump for.
Yeah.
I mean, later Mitch McConnell fucking went back on it and he's fucking got balls on his chin right now.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
I mean, they're kind of already there. I mean, like when you look at his chin, he looks like Peter Griffin.
He does look like testicle chin. He looks like a fucking droopy old man's sack for his fucking chin.
He looks
chin.
Like just like the guy from that fucking Pan Labyrinth with the eye hands. He looks just like that.
He acts just like that. If you fucking take anything from the fucking table, he
walks around with
fucking
his hands.
Stalk you.
Terrifying fucker.
Do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness monster, and the theory of Atlantis?
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
So the story comes to the New York Times. Stimulus checks substantially reduced hardship, study shows. Researchers found that sharp declines in food shortages, financial instability, and anxiety coincided with the two most recent rounds of payments. And I grabbed the CECL because it's to me, it's evidence of a couple of things that are important. The first is proof that government works.
Yeah.
Right? And that's important because we've been sold since Reagan a bill of goods that, you know, the most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
And that's become part of a ongoing zeitgeist, a repeating narrative that people have believed and internalized. And it's bullshit, right? Because government does work. It works not just here in America, but it works in many, many, many other countries. And it can really substantially increase our quality of life. And it's also important, I think it's evidence that small payments, because $1,400 is not a lot of money to each individual, but small payments spread out across the entirety of the populace or most of the populace saves us money in the long term.
Yeah.
Because if it reduces food shortages, it reduces the incurred social costs of food shortages. If it reduces other social costs, we pay economic costs for all those social costs.
Sure.
Every dollar we spend, we probably make more than a dollar back on it.
Yeah.
So it's good fiscal sense and it's compassionate and it's evidence that government works.
And it's the bottom up. It's that trickle up or whatever it is. You know, I don't know what you call it. Like buy a plant a seed, whatever. I don't know what you call it. It's not trickle down, right?
No.
Whatever it is, it's not trickle down.
Yeah.
It's
bottom up.
It's bottom up. It's like plant a seed, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like it's that idea that if you put money in the hands of people who need money, they're going to spend it. You put money in the hands of people who don't need money, they're going to save it or they're going to invest it.
Yep.
And we've seen this time and time and time again. And especially when it comes to these stimulus payments, you know, this last round that just comes out, you read some of these stories in here. Read this article.
Yeah.
Go to this article, guys. New York Times lets you have like two or three a month or something like that.
Open an incognito mode. You can have as many as you want.
Go there and read this story. Because this is fucking heartbreaking. Like it's sad. It's sad to watch. You know, you're in a pandemic. You're coming out of the, you're starting to grip and claw your way out of this pandemic. And you're also seeing that people are, there's so much more hardship than just a pandemic.
Yes.
Right? There's so much more hardship. And it's compounded by the pandemic. And so you get a chance to see and read these stories of these people who are in real desperate, dire straits. And what happens is they get this money, and this money is a lifesaver to these people.
Yeah.
It's a lifesaver. We're talking about people who can now have three meals a day.
Yeah. Like, think about when we had Keith on from Modest Needs. Yeah. The average gift from Modest Needs was about, I think, $700 is what he said. About $700. This is double that. And Modest Needs gets people out of a crisis, right? And we have so many people in America who are on the verge of or just skirting a crisis or in the midst of a crisis all the time. Our national poverty rate or poverty level is set so insanely low. You know, if you're trying to raise a family on the median income in this country, you're fucking poor. The median income in this country is fucking low, man.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to raise a family on that, where you're trying to feed, house, clothe, educate, transport three, four people on $40,000, $50,000 a year, man, that's you're a fucking one broken radiator away from bad shit.
Sure.
You know, how are you going to send kids to college? Yeah. It's that generational cyclical problem that poverty is and creates. And government can help.
Yeah.
It can. And like, that's the reason to have a society.
Yeah.
The reason to have a society is so that we are all in it together.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what happened. Like, America's just fucking so bad at understanding that we're on the same team. For such a patriotic, nationalistic country, we're weirdly individualistic at the same time that we're hyper-nationalistic.
It's got this, always has this undertone of what does my neighbor have and how do I get it?
Yeah.
You know, there's always this like underlying current of greed and envy that always is so pervasive, but yet there's also this weird nationalist, like you say, hyper-nationalist thing, but they fight and the greed wins.
Greed wins all the time.
Greed and envy win all the time. Greed for the people who can get it and the envy for the people, you know, who don't have, you know, you just don't have. And there's, you know, we have people in this country who make so much exponentially more money than you should be able to spend
insane.
In a lifetime.
A
lifetime.
Yep.
And this is, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, and the tax plans that were introduced where people were saying, yeah, over the 10 million mark or something. And people, you know, that are making, you know, they're making $100,000 a year are complaining about this. You're never going to get
there. You're never getting there.
You're never going to get there. Your entire career of working, you'll never get to that one moment.
Right.
You know? And it's just, it's insane.
People that are making like, seriously, 1% of the amount, then they're just like, well, I want to make sure in case I get super rich. Man, fuck it, I'll raise my hand. If I'm making $100 million and someone's like, we're taking $50 million, I'm like, I get to keep $50 million.
I know, right?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of anything that I don't get. You know what I mean?
$50 million, you get anything you ever
want. It's every good. It's anything every service. What the fuck?
What do you need that's $51 million?
I don't understand it. Money ceases to be a useful thing when every good and service is within reach.
Yeah.
Once every conceivable, stupid, fucking dumbass whim you possibly have can be immediately entertained, what's another dollar on top of that? But we like don't get it because it's scorekeeping in America.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's fucking Pac-Man.
Yeah.
You want to fucking get to the top of the fucking leaderboard and be like, ASS.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do.
Well, just read this though. I implore everybody to go read this
because great article.
The stories in this that you hear really do show you that there's a lot of different Americas.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who live well under the margins in this country, and these payments were lifesavers to them. So we'd like to thank our patrons. Of course, we'd like to thank all our patrons, but we'd like to thank our newest patrons, Jim, Donna, Rhino, leaving a small load for Ian at the Glory Hole.
Oh boy.
It every load counts. My mom died so I could give you money. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's a dark show.
Jesus Christ. And people who upped their pledges, Kevin, Michael, and David. Thank you so much for your generous donations. You guys are the reasons Glory Hole Studios exist. You're the reason why we have two employees. You're the reason why we're able to, in some ways, reach out to you, and you're able to consume a bunch of different medias from us because you guys are able to contribute to the show. And we try to make sure that we give that back in ways. So like we have a stream now every week, and we try to make sure that, you know, the show is of high quality, and we have Ian who does the editing every week. And so it's really, it's because of your dollars that's able to happen. So thank you so much. Got a little bit of email this week. Natalie sent in.
This is so great.
An amazing poster.
It's really good.
For Jim Baker, a Jim Baker wanted poster. We're going to put it on this week's show notes. Natalie, this is amazing.
It's really so good.
It's really good. It's very good. We got a message. This is from Mickey. And Mickey says, just so you know, I made this thing. And there's a thing here that they made that is from a show that they might have cut a little. So we're gonna play it for you now.
Oh boy.
That's hard.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, that's the
praise God.
The angel. Here's an angel of fire. There's such an anointing here today. Wow. I mean, Sue, when you sang He Touched Me, I knew people are going to be touched. A miracle took place.
Yes. The restoration, yes.
Oh, that lady is so crazy. That lady's just so, she's just so, everything, she does that so much.
So much.
It'd be so easy to create something to, you know, mock her that way. I mean, and there's so many things that are connected to biblical readings and things that are just innuendo.
Just so much. The whole like, I'm going to get an angel of fire. It's like a little penicillin will clear that up for you. You don't have to live with that, Jim.
Or, you know, he touched you. You know, like there's all this stuff where you're just, okay, he came into me.
Did he? Get down on your knees for Jesus.
All right.
Did he come into you?
Like, okay. Wow, did he ask first?
he had a tap on the shoulder.
Did he ask if you wanted the gook before him? We got a message. This is from Mary. And Mary says, basically, they live in Utah, a small town in Utah. We're talking about wearing masks rurally. I said, no one, now the mandate's over, nobody's wearing masks anymore. And that's common everywhere.
Yeah.
Even in places out here where once they took the mask mandate down, I noticed that I was one of the few people who was still wearing a mask in a store. I don't have to, I'm vaccinated and I don't feel like I need to, but I wear one because I don't want the people who feel like they should wear one to feel weird.
Yeah, sort of a solid. There's a level of solidarity to it. Yeah, absolutely.
But actually, I don't need to wear one. Like,
you feel comfortable.
I feel comfortable, and I don't have vulnerable people at home. Right. So it's just my wife and I were both vaccinated. So I don't have vulnerable people that are near me that would get.
Yeah, I got little kids, so I'm still masking up.
Of course you should. We got a message from Matt, number one, and he says, do you guys have Cadbury picnic bars? They are probably the best chocolate bar in the world. If you cannot get them, let me know. Give me your address and I'll send you some. So Matt, I'm going to look on Amazon because it turns out Amazon, you can buy other candies from other countries pretty easily.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to look for these and I'll see if I can have them for next week and we'll try them on the stream next Thursday. But I'll look for Cadbury picnic bars. We tried on the stream this week. If you catch it, we tried a Cadbury Neapolitan bar.
Horrible.
Shame on you, Hayden, for sending that. And Horrible. Then we also tried ketchup chips from Canada. Jay? Oh, damn you, Jay. Those are the worst.
Jay hit some home runs, but he had some Jay fucking hit some real stinkers.
Because there was a lot of awesome goodness in that box he sent us. But these ketchup, these are the last thing. They Seriously. Are so terrible.
So bad.
Those ketchup
Very
chips
hard
are the
to describe
worst.
How bad
we
they
are going to get a lot of messages from Canadians, though, telling us how wrong we are about ketchup chips because evidently that's what mom used to make or whatever.
Yeah, but it's fine. They'll be polite emails.
Yeah, they'll be polite emails. You're right. No one's going to swear. We got a message from Leon and he sent an image of a good way Somewhere. To do birth control, in my opinion.
Right?
A very good way to do birth control. So we're going to post that in this week's show notes. I don't know where that is. I don't know what city that is, but it's a great image. So we're back in the studio. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We want to thank everybody for sticking with us during the pandemic. Shows, I think, will be a little different. We think this show is just different when we were together. We just think it's different.
It's different for us,
at least.
It's
different for me. I mean, at least, maybe you don't notice. Maybe you don't hear the sound. Maybe you don't feel like it's different. But for Tom and I, it's very different.
It's so much different. Yeah.
And it's better. Yes. So we're happy that we're back in studio. And come catch the stream next week. We'll be in studio together and it's a lot of fun. So streams are happening 9 p.m. Central. You can catch them at Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitch. That is going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.